Amen. I appreciate that good singing, don't you?
Amen.
I'm kind of excited about seeing what's on the other side. Amen. Cut the pulpit off, brother, and see what happens. Y'all brace yourself. We're having technical difficulties. Turn me down just a tad, Brother James. How is it back there, Dennis? All right, good. Acts chapter number one. I've often said, back the monitors off a little bit, brother, if you would, that red button. Amen. I've often said, if we lived our lives saved, with our family in church, not having to spend most of our life in jail, and we died and there was no heaven and there was no hell, it'd still be worth it.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say it again. It would still be worth it.
Yes.
Amen. I didn't have to visit my children every other weekend. I got to see them every day. Amen.
Amen.
I'm still married to my first wife, and that's because of the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. It'd be worth it. But listen, there is a heaven.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going.
Amen.
And there is a hell, and I ain't. Amen. So I'm kind of excited about seeing what's on the other side. Did I tell you Acts chapter number one? Amen. I'm going to read some scripture in a minute. Keep your Bibles out. This morning I made a statement. I said that God always answers prayer. He answers every prayer. Sometimes it's yes, and we like those, don't we? Sometimes it's no, and we don't like those because we're like children. We like to get our way. But sometimes the worst answer for me to deal with is that answer that says wait. And I want to deal with waiting on God. Waiting on God. You see, time to us, and what we think of time is totally different than what God thinks of time. We've got scripture for that. But you got to think about somebody who's been around since eternity past, somebody who will be around in eternity future. So like a kid waiting on Christmas, it seems like it ain't ever going to get there. And you notice the older you get, the quicker it comes. I mean, it seems like we just had it last week, and now it's coming up on that season again. But see, to God, time is not such a big deal to Him as it is to us. Amen? And sometimes God has us to wait. Look at Acts chapter number 1. We're going to look at several places tonight where God had some people waiting. And God's got some people in this room waiting. What's He waiting on? I don't know, and you don't know. But whatever it is, it'll be worth it once you figure it out. Amen? So what I want to try to teach you tonight is a little bit of patience. And I'm the world's worst one to be preaching this to you because I've struggled with that all my life. I pray, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Amen? I'm impatient as they get. But sometimes the Lord says, wait. And what I found out, we'll read the scripture in a minute, what I found out that a lot of times I will have prayed about something and nearly forgotten it when God does it. And it just, a light go off and go, oh yeah, thank you, Lord. I forgot I even asked you to do that. Amen. Anybody ever had that happen? You prayed about something, forgot about it, and time went by. All of a sudden one day, bam, God answers that prayer. And all of a sudden out of nowhere, it just hits you. Oh yeah, I asked Him to do that. Amen. Look at Acts chapter number 1. Let's see, where do I want to start? I'm going to start at verse number 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And I'm going to stop right there, and we know what that promise was. It was the promise of the Holy Spirit of God. Let me ask you a question. Jesus gave them specific instruction. What were they? Say the word, wait. Wait, right here till you be endued with the power from on high. Would you say it was good for them to wait?
Yes, sir.
I remember reading about a famous old preacher by the name of Savonarola. He went into a meeting, and it was a planned, scheduled revival meeting. And they said Dr. Savonarola went to the platform, and he sat down and refused to get up for 5 hours. He just sat there, and nobody left. They said that he was waiting on the power of God. He refused to preach without knowing he had the power of God. They said, he sat there for 5 hours and nobody left. Evidently, they must have known what that old man of God was waiting on would be worth it when it got there. Amen. Can you imagine me just sitting here and y'all staying here for 5 hours? Ain't gonna happen, is it? I can't imagine you staying here if I preach for 5 hours. I'd like to try that someday. Amen. I did one time at a black church. They told me, they said, now, preacher, we don't usually get out at about 3 o'clock. That was on Sunday morning. That bunch liked to preach me to death. I needed oxygen when I got done. But listen, what I'm trying to say was what the Lord had these guys waiting on. He could have done it right then, couldn't he? Could he have not? He could have filled them with the Holy Ghost right there before he ever left the room. Nod your little pointed heads, you'll be all right. But he made them wait for some reason. What's the reason? Maybe to teach them to wait on God. They could have struck on out and said, hey, we know what to do. I can just see Simon Peter. Hey, man, I got a message. It's burning. I'm going to go preach. And it would have been useless. There would have been no cloven tongues of fire. There would have been no 3,000 people get saved. Sometimes when we get out ahead of God, and I'm the world's worst, I have to pull my own reins a little bit and say, whoa, boy, whoa, let's just wait on God. Sometimes God may reveal something to you, and that thing's going to happen just as sure as a nose on the front of your face, then it may just not yet be time. There is a waiting. I knew, and some of y'all going to look cross-eyed at me, and I don't really care. I knew when that lady was 12 years old that one day she'd be my wife. I knew that. Just as sure as I was breathing, I wasn't even saved yet. But I told my mother, I'm going to marry that girl. She laughed at me. And I meant it with all my heart. And there she sits, and come December, we'll be married 30 years. Now, how many of you think it was the will of God for us to marry at 12 and 14? That wouldn't have been good, would it? Just because I knew she was God's will for my life, that doesn't mean we're supposed to start dating and going out. Amen? If you let your 12-year-old go out, you're crazy. If you let your 13, 14, 15, 16, somebody help me right there. Amen. A lot of that date rape would stop if daddy is in the back seat with a shotgun. Amen. Full of buckshot. That just put an end to all that mess. Amen. Sometimes it's God's will that we wait. My grandfather, I've got a shotgun in my closet. My great-grandfather went to Sears and Roebuck the day I was born, November the 13th, 1964. And in celebration of me being born, he bought me a shotgun. A 12-gauge Sears and Roebuck pump shotgun. And it's in my closet. And Papa told me from the time I was big enough to understand, son, that's your shotgun, but you're not big enough yet. I'd clean it. He had let me clean it. I about cleaned the blue in off of it by the time I was big enough to shoot it. And I remember when he thought I was big enough to shoot it, I thought I was too till I pulled the trigger. Amen. And that thing set me back about 3 foot. Now, it had been foolish to hand a six-year-old a 12-gauge shotgun and say, here, it's your shotgun, take off. And it was my shotgun, but I wasn't ready for it. There's some things that is God's will for your life, but you're not ready for it. When I was a young preacher, I used to listen. I mean, I've got every cassette tape Dr. Hiles ever preached. I got plastic tubs of them that big. He was my hero, and I just looked up to him, and I'd listen to them tapes, boy, and I'd hear that big crowd, and then I finally got to go to pastor school, and I saw those thousands of people, and I thought, man, that's what I want. If God had given me half that then, I couldn't have handled it. Amen. I didn't understand when I began pastoring why I only had 4 people. And the other preacher boys out of my church, they were taking churches with deacons and Sunday school teachers and all this stuff set up into play. Did you know, and I'm not tooting my whistle, but out of all the preacher boys that took those churches, I'm the only one still at the church that called them out of White Oak Springs. God knew what he was doing. I thought having nobody was a curse. It was a blessing. Amen. I didn't pick up no baggage. I didn't pick up no stupid traditions. Amen. And the Lord was blessing us. But if I'd have started off, my wife, I'll never forget, we left the church that morning after they voted me in, and I always set goals. She said, honey, what's your goal? I said, I want to see 100 people in this church. That was about as big as I could even dream. I never imagined. Last Sunday, we had 367 people in this auditorium. Amen. A little off today, we got 30 in Colorado. People are on vacation, what have you, but I'm telling you, I never dreamed. Hey, that's what I wanted, but I wasn't ready for that. Amen. I wanted to see people saved, I mean by the dozens like we have, and that's a blessing, but I wasn't ready to handle that then. I had to grow with the church. Does that make sense? Just because it's God's will don't mean it's God's will right now. As parents, I hope you don't give your children everything they ask for. I hope you don't. It's good for them to hear no every now and then. And for a Christian, it's good for you to hear no every now and then. It's discipline. Amen. Do you remember if I told you or not how to get everything you want? Do you know how to get everything you want? Anybody? You just got to start wanting what God wants. And when you start wanting what God wants, and you start praying about that, God says, huh, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. Amen. But you got to change that flesh. Because that flesh don't want everything God wants. That flesh wants everything that flesh wants. Yeah. Amen. Hey, I have prayed for a 1969 Z28 Camaro. I admit it. I prayed for it. I've seen him go down the road, and I said, Lord, that guy's probably lost and on his way to hell. Why come he gets to have one of them and I don't? He's got a reason. He may be making me wait till I drive like an old grandpa. So I don't kill myself in it. Amen. My wife says I'm already starting. She'll say, honey, would you go? I said, well, I'm looking at stuff. Amen. I've got a feeling, man. There's a reason the Lord hadn't let me have that. Amen. One of these days when he does, you're going to hear me shout all over the place. My wife says she's going to buy me one. But we don't give our kids everything they ask for. We'll have a bunch of spoiled brats. Amen. To us, when we pray about these things, I've prayed about that check that's going to pay this building off. That's got us hindered from more stuff than you can shake a stick at. Amen. The devil's tried to tell me, hey, you'll stop running them buses. That's a lot of our evangelical Christian credit union. They ought to take the word Christian off that. That's the wickedest bunch I ever heard of in my life. Amen. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff, the stipulations they put on us. But anyway, that guy said, well, you could trim here, and you could trim here, and you could trim here. I said, whoa, wait a minute, buddy. If you take the buses away from what we do, you take away what we do. Amen. Somebody says, why does God bless that church like he does? Because this church does what it does.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And we pray about these things, and I still believe that check's coming. I've believed it for how long we've been here, 15 years. I've believed it since the day we walked in this building. I'll still be believing it the day I go deposit the check in the bank to pay the mortgage off. And I don't know when it is, but I know it's coming. I have no doubt about it. Just as sure as I'm standing here, I sat in that balcony the day we looked at this building, and God said, you're home. So you know what I'm doing? I'm just waiting. And I've learned if I go try to make it happen, I mess it up. And we're going to talk about a fellow in a minute who tried to make it happen. And we're still paying for it today. Amen. When we get out ahead of God, we make a mess. So we've got to learn just to be patient and know that whatever God's doing, he may be doing a work in us. We think the Lord is just saying, wait. But maybe the Lord's saying, grow, mature, get the bitterness out of your heart, get the anger out of your heart, get the sin out of the way. Hey, I'm waiting on you to get right before I can bless you. Amen. We got folks in this church, if God gave them a bunch of money, we wouldn't see them no more. Somebody said, why am I so poor? Because God can't trust you with money. Well, it got quiet there. Amen. If he can't trust you with 10% of your income, he ain't going to trust you with winning the lottery. Or Ed McMahon, oh, he died. Whoever took his place, coming to your house with that publisher's clearinghouse. Amen. Maybe God's waiting on us to grow a little bit. Maybe God's trying to mature us a little bit. Maybe God's trying to show us that what he's promised will come to pass.
Yeah.
Amen. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Listen, when we learn to wait on God, it builds character in us. Amen. I still pray every day for the finances of this church. Every day. Every day. It wouldn't surprise me if Tom, I'm not going to be shocked if Tom calls me tomorrow and says there's a check here in the mail to pay the building off. I'm not going to be a shock. Why? I know it's coming. I know it's coming. So I'm just going to keep doing what I know I'm supposed to do. I'm going to keep tithing. I'm going to keep supporting missions. I'm going to keep doing my part.
Amen.
Amen. And when the check comes, we're going to shout the roof off this place and burn that mortgage right here on top of this pulpit. Say amen. Amen. Then you know what we're going to do? We're going to buy new buses.
Amen.
We're going to fix this junk around here. But first order of business, we're going to buy new buses. I'm talking about them with the tinted windows and chrome wheels. If I have my way about it, they'll have dual exhaust on them. Amen. I don't know how diesel sounds with dual exhaust, Brother Jason, but we'll give her a try. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to put the money back where God blesses us. Hallelujah. But anyway, the Lord, every now and then, just has us to wait. Men, do you ever stop your wife from running to your little boy every time he cries? Every time Levi falls, I mean, he's still probably like that today. He'd probably stump his toe out there cutting grass, and he'd scream like a girl. I'm sitting on the porch, I see him fall, I'd say, rub some dirt on it, boy. Come here, I'll help you up. Not mama. Oh, baby, come here. She just run to him every day. I said, leave him alone. Amen. I'm not on your winning side, am I?
Yeah.
Leave him alone. Let him be a boy. Let him toughen up. Why? Builds character. I can tell mama's boy when I see one. Amen. I'm one too, Jack. It's all right. Amen. It builds character. Sometimes when we wait and we're patient, and God knows we've been waiting and we're patient, man, how he blesses in the end. Go to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. Let's go to verse number 3. Now, let's just read the whole thing. Verse number 1. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Bible said, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Jesus waited 2 days. Could he have went to Bethany and healed Lazarus? Someone talk to me. Could he have went to Bethany and healed Lazarus? Matter of fact, let's back up. He could have healed Lazarus right there where he was. Remember the centurion servant? He could have just said, go, it's done. Go, tell him he's fine. He didn't even have to, but he waited 2 days. Remember what he told them? This sickness is not unto death, but it's for my glory. He made them wait 2 days. Matter of fact, when they ran and met him and Lazarus was already in the ground, they were upset with him that he tarried. And they said, we know he'll rise again. Jesus told them he'd rise again. They said, yeah, we know in the resurrection. And Jesus said, y'all still don't get it, do you? I am the resurrection. And Jesus stepped in the middle of that graveyard. You reckon God got glory out of them waiting? He even allowed them, you know, the shortest verse in the Bible says Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Because of what he had to put them through. That's why the Bible says weep with them that weep. He put them through burying their brother. He let them think that he purposely just let Lazarus die. And you know what? He did. He let him die. Why? Because he said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for my glory. Sometimes this waiting may not be for your punishment, but it's for his glory. Amen. Sometimes this waiting game that we play for God with God, it may not be your punishment, and you may suffer a little bit, and you may go through some hard times. I'm telling you, it was no fun standing at the foot of my son's bed when he was in a coma. I didn't enjoy that one bit. There was nothing about that was a blessing except for you feeding us and praying for us. Now, that's the only blessing out of the whole thing. There was nothing good about watching my son suffer. I'd have traded places with him in a heartbeat. Didn't know if he's going to live or die. But you reckon God got glory out of that? That boy straddled this pulpit Wednesday night and preached the word of God, and two people got saved. God's starting to use him to preach around the country a little bit. I'm telling you, it's a blessing. I didn't know then what God was going to do now. But I had to patiently wait. I had to wait. These ladies had to wait. They had to suffer to see. I guarantee you, Lazarus didn't complain. When Jesus stepped in that graveyard and said, Lazarus, I always heard the old preacher say, you know why he said Lazarus? Because if he hadn't said Lazarus, the whole graveyard would have got up. Amen? He said, Lazarus, come forth. Can you imagine the look on Mary and Martha's face when he come floating out of that tomb? He couldn't walk. He was bound, remember? He floated out of there, friend. Then Jesus said, loose him. Let him go. Can you imagine the jaws hitting the ground? Can you imagine that crowd standing around going, oh, this stuff ain't real. This stuff ain't real. It's a bunch of emotionalism, easy believism, like this crowd does today. Ain't nothing to it. That crowd ain't nothing but a cult. Yeah. Amen. Like Ashley's doctors. They couldn't do nothing but give God the glory when he healed her from cancer. Sometimes God, he's a glory hog. Read Revelation 4:11. Everything he made to give him pleasure. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You don't deserve glory. Amen. You've done nothing to deserve glory. Amen. Sometimes people get upset when we don't mention all they've done from the pulpit. Hey, you don't deserve any glory. Amen. We brag on you and appreciate you when we think of it, and sometimes stuff slips my mind. Hey, but we're serving one tonight who does deserve some glory. And if I have to suffer for it and you have to suffer for it, hey, the greater glory he's going to get out of it. Amen. Amen. Jesus purposely made them wait until Lazarus was dead. All that he did for their glory. And in verse 45, the Bible said that many believed because they suffered. Many believed because they suffered. Go to Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. Y'all doing okay tonight?
Amen, sir.
Acts chapter number 7. Have you ever asked God, what are you waiting on? Have you? I've asked him, Lord, what's the holdup? What's the problem here? Lord, I know this is going to happen. I know this is going to happen. Lord, you've assured me through your spirit. You've assured me through preaching. And then you've sealed it with your word. God, I know this is going to happen. I know this is going to take place. What is the deal? What are we waiting on? There's a man in our church I waited for years to see saved. Got him to come one time in the old building. Invitation time come, he hit the door running. And I couldn't figure out. I knew God told me he was going to save him. God told me that sure as I was standing there in the pulpit that morning. He said, he's going to get saved. I didn't know God meant years later. Amen. It was Johnny Cash. Here a couple years ago, he come right down that aisle, stood at this altar, looked up at me and said, I got to know. Thank God. Amen. Sometimes the Lord just says, wait. Acts chapter number 7. Look at verse number 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Now, listen. Moses is 40 years old when he slays the Egyptians. Do you think God, in his infinite foreknowledge, do you think God already knows that he's going to use Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage? Do you think God knows that? I think he does. I think he knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day. And by the way, I think it's all right on his schedule. Amen? I think he knew very well that he was going to use Moses. But you know what he did? He chose to have Moses wait 40 years on the backside of the desert, tending his father-in-law's sheep. It was 40 years from the time he slew the Egyptian to the time of the burning bush. Wonder why that was. God knew what he was doing all the time. There was some people in Egypt where he was a wanted man, needed to die. You understand that? There were some people where he came from that needed to die. There was some maturing in the life of Moses that needed to happen before he led those children into the promised land. God knew exactly what. What if God made you wait 40 years on something? We get impatient, don't we? Has God assured you of something? You just hadn't saw it yet. What's the old poster say? Hang on, baby, Friday's coming. Amen. Moses dies at 120 years old. Now, I can't imagine living that long, but 120 years old. He had to wait over a third of his lifetime for the will of God to transpire and happen in his life. And we get mad if it don't happen right now. If what we're praying for and what we're looking for, we get upset. Some people just even get bitter and sideways at God because he doesn't act when we snap our fingers. Amen. God doesn't serve us. We serve him. Does that make sense? God is not your servant. He's not your pool boy that just jumps to your attention every time you yell. Amen. There's a lot of these guys on TV preaching like he is. No, he's not. I heard one a while back. I was in a motel, was looking through them channels and saw one of them preachers that I love to make fun of. And he's standing on the platform and he said, "I command you, Lucifer." And I thought, man, who do you think you are? And then he turned around and said it. He showed me who he thought he was. He looked at that crowd and said, "If you've seen me, you've seen Jesus." That scared me. I was afraid lightning was going to strike in the motel room. I turned it real quick. Amen. We don't demand nothing out of God. God blesses us and God hears our prayers because he promised he would. And God blesses us not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. Amen. And your heavenly Father knows much better how to provide for you than your earthly father did. What I'm saying is you can trust him tonight. And if he's got you waiting, just hang on. In Genesis chapter number 15, God promises Abraham a son. Didn't he do it? God promised him a son. Listen, I think he's somewhere around 86 years old. I know he was 86 when Ishmael was born. He waited all them years. God told him, said, "Can you count the stars? That's how I'm going to multiply your seed. As many as the sands on the seashore." God promised him that. God promised him that. That's one reason I believe when Isaac was born and God told Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice him, I don't believe Abraham hesitated. Of course, we know he didn't hesitate because he already had the promise of God that he's going to multiply seed through that boy. So he knew if he did kill him, God would resurrect him. God was going to do something. The boy was going to live. Yeah. Amen. Because he had already learned that God fulfills his promises to the T. Remember, he told the servants before him and Isaac went up the mountain. He said, "Ye abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." That's what he called sacrificing his son, worship, "and come again unto you." Well, what Abraham's problem was he got impatient. He was getting old, and his wife was getting old. His wife's got a great idea. "Here, take one of these handmaids, Hagar, and we'll have a child by her." Do you get in trouble when you get out ahead of God? You get in big trouble. The majority of our news is still because of Abraham's mistake. Amen. Do you know who's fighting over there, don't you? That's Isaac and Ishmael. You understand? I hope y'all understand that. That's what that is. That's Isaac and Ishmael, a child that never was supposed to have been, but somebody got out ahead of God. Amen. Sometimes we get ahead of God and things transpire by our own making that God had nothing to do with, and we pay for it the rest of our life. Not only did Abraham pay for it, but his children paid for it, and his children's children, and their children, and on and on and on. You understand that? So it pays to be patient and wait on God. Did he get that promised son? Yeah. When he was 100 years old, God finally came through and answered that prayer. I believe he might have done it quicker had it not been for Ishmael. Amen? How about that? Listen, in Genesis chapter number 29, you don't have to turn to all these. I'm trying to rush through some of this. Jacob, you remember he runs away from home. winds up working for a fellow named Laban, falls in love with her daughter, Rachel. Rachel was beautiful. Jacob went to Laban and said, "Hey, what I got to do to marry that girl?" He said, "Work for me, serve me for 7 years." He done his 7 years patient, but she must have been a hottie, because he served him 7 years, buddy, waiting to get that bride. Well, it's wedding day, or wedding night. He goes in that tent, wakes up next morning, find out it ain't her, it's her ugly sister, Leah. Is that right? He went back and said, "Whoa, whoa, man, you done me wrong." He said, "No, got to be the oldest daughter first." He said, "Man, I really want Rachel. That's the one I'm in love with. That's who I want to marry." He said, "Seven more years." Did he do it?
Yes, sir.
He sure did. He worked 14 years to get that bride. Well, that's patience, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Some of you have been working 14 years to get over one. Amen. Verse 27. He fulfills her week also in Genesis chapter number 29. 14 years he waited. Was it worth it? I believe if we could ask him tonight, he'd say it sure will. Noah had to wait over 100 years to find out if his boat would float. Are you listening? Noah had to wait over 100 years to find out if his boat would float. I remember when I got my little bass boat from BJ, I didn't even go home. I went to Brother Anthony's and put it in the lake to see if it floated, amen? Noah built that boat. He followed the law of God and he followed the command of God. He was faithful. The Bible said he was faithful and he was a man of righteousness. But, buddy, it didn't rain. Every day them people made fun of him, thought you said it was going to rain. It will. Been 10 years, buddy. It ain't rained yet. 20 years. Thought you said it was going to rain. It will. 100 years. Can you imagine waiting 100 years to see God fulfill a promise? But yet he did it. Amen? Yet he did it. When God withholds something from us, it's not always because we're awful, but most time we are. But it's to mature us or to grow us. So we ought to be patient. And what you'll find out a lot of times is when it does come to pass, you'll see what God was waiting on. If you're honest with yourself and honest with God, you'll see what God was waiting on. I thought about Joshua chapter 14. Old Caleb. Remember, he's one of the spies that went in with Joshua and viewed the land of Canaan. He picked him out a spot while he was there. He said, "I want that mountain. We got a song about it. I want that mountain. I want that mountain." Do you know how long it took for Caleb to get that mountain? I ain't got a clue. I thought I had it wrote down. Oh, he waited 45 years. 45 years before he got that mountain. Listen, everybody else was dead but Joshua. Everybody else was dead when he finally got his mountain. But, buddy, I can just see his face. There she is right there. That's my mountain.
Amen.
And you know what? He got it. That was his mountain. Is there a mountain you've claimed somewhere and you gave up praying about? You quit praying about? Listen, Brother Freddie's dad had a stroke while we were in Colorado, or the night we came home. It's a light stroke. He'll probably come out of the hospital today or tomorrow. But you know what? Brother Freddie's been here, William, what, 16 years? Somewhere in that neighborhood. I've been praying for his daddy that long that he'd be saved. I'm not going to give up. And I'm not going to quit. Amen? Have you ever wanted something for a long time, and then you finally got it, and it just seemed like it made it so much better because you waited on it?
Yes, sir.
Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
It'll be good when the answer comes. Amen. If we'll be patient and not give up on God and not get bitter or upset with God, let's wait. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says just wait. Just wait. Let's stand our feet. I don't know what you're waiting on, but don't give up. I've heard stories all my life of women who prayed for a wayward child, or women who prayed for an abusive husband, And they didn't give up. They didn't get a divorce. They just stayed faithful to God, and they kept praying and kept praying. You've heard the stories. Last night of revival, he come down the aisle and get born again. Amen. There's a lot of those stories out there, and I believe they're true. I believe they're true. You ever heard the old saying, good things come to those who wait? And I believe that. If God's promised you something and you know in your heart, you just be patient and wait on the Lord. Somebody ought to come tell him you're sorry because you've been trying to make it happen yourself and you made a mess out of it. Amen. I remember trying to fix our finances one time by borrowing money. Not good math. You never borrow yourself out of debt. Amen. I've made more messes and then had God come back and have to help me clean it up. Amen. So maybe you've got out ahead of God. Just come tell him, say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to be patient. Help me to wait on you and help me to trust you. Amen. Miss Ashley, y'all come and sing a verse if you would. You just mind the Lord tonight.